Elliot, thanks so much for joining us today. I want to talk about 31 Thoughts and your tracing of the Eric Comrie saga. But before we get there, this contract, is there anything about this contract that surprises you? And just how good has Justin Hall been for this team this year?
Well, he's been really good. He had a game back-to-back or two of them back-to-back where they played in Edmonton on a Saturday. I think Buffalo was on a Tuesday, I want to say that game was, at home. And he faced McDavid and Eichel, and he was really good against both of them. And not just the numbers in terms of, how he played against them, and he competed hard and he made life difficult for them. And I think for a lot of people who watch those two games in particular, it was a real eye-opener. There are some people in the organization, Jeff, who've been big Justin Hall fans for quite some time. Even last year when he was getting scratched for, 71 games?
Mm-hmm.
There were people in the organization who believed very strongly in him. All of that viewpoint is validated now. And it's funny, you kind of check in these things, once in a while. I made a couple of calls last week. Is anything going on here with an extension? And, I was told not really. And then, before I could catch back up, it was done. And so I either A, someone was lying to me, or B, it got done pretty quickly. So, and I've been told it's a little from column A and a little from column B. So, but he really deserves it. I think he's really earned it, like you said. And it's a great story because this was a guy, as you said at the beginning, I don't think a lot of us were counting on too much this year.
No, and it's funny, as you were talking about him having fans in the organization, I went back and looked, and I remembered the trade deadline last year when Kyle Dubas was being asked about his activity. He said, look, we are always going to be a team that is paying our top-end guys a lot of money because of the fact they're young, because of where they are, because of their contractual situation. He said, we are going to need to find diamonds in the rough. And the first name he threw out was Justin Hall. And he said, for example, Justin Hall. And I think a lot of us just kind of thought, oh, okay, well, and as a matter of fact, I may have said at the time, it's never a good news conference at a trade deadline when Justin Hall is a talking point. Boy, was I wrong.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that sometimes I really believe that the term kills you more than the AAV does.
Yes.
And I don't look at this as anything that's a problem in terms of either length of contract or amount of money. I think this is, it's a great deal for a player that I'm sure last year was wondering what his future was. And it's a team-friendly deal for the organization, no question. But you're not going to find too many guys with his ability that are going to get that kind of a deal.
I feel like, Jeff, we should give Elliot a little bit of time to promote his 31 Thoughts.
I mentioned it already.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
So, Elliot, no, I know. I'm saying I'm segueing so that Elliot could hype the beginning of his column, which we both thought was excellent. Elliot, the floor is yours. Right.
Well, I'm not really good at this, but, I'll do, obviously one of the more interesting stories at the beginning of the season was the travels of Eric Comrie. A young goalie, he's 24 years old. He started the year in the Jets organization. He got a 2-year extension. And I think, they have Connor Hellebuck, who's an all-star and deservedly so, one of the best goalies in the league this year. And their backup right now is a guy by the name of Laurent Brossoit, who was probably going to be priced out of their organization after this year as a UFA. And they got him signed for this year and next. And I think his plan was to go down to the American Hockey League in Manitoba, play really well, and have that backup spot for next year. Well, they had to put him on waivers to get him down there. He knew that. And that began a 90-day, 3-organization, 5-team odyssey from Manitoba and the Jets to Arizona and the Tucson Roadrunners of the American Hockey League to Detroit and back to Manitoba. And, I didn't realize when I started talking to him, he's got a longtime girlfriend. Her name is Haley Hull. They've been together for 6 years. And because she's, trained to become a Pilates instructor, she had the opportunity to do it with them. So I had an opportunity to talk to both of them yesterday. And I thought their stories were really great. A lot of this, I remember years ago, when Jamie Lundmark was a member of the Leafs,
right.
I reported something about him being available, and his wife reached out to me. I want to say it was a direct message on Twitter, but I don't remember for sure. And she, like, kind of at the beginning, like, kind of lectured me a bit on, you know, you don't understand what these kinds of things, the effect they have on the families. And so I met her at a game once, and we sat down during the intermission, and we talked, and I wrote about it. And that's kind of what I was looking at here is the effect that these kinds of moves have on the psyche of your family, you know, your kids, if you have them. They don't have kids. But that, to me, was the most fun part of the story, was kind of figuring out, Richard, that they did it together and how they experienced that and what that's like. And, you know, I just thought it was pretty funny that he goes from Winnipeg to Arizona. They take all their winter clothes back to their summer home in Newport Beach. He gets traded to Detroit, which he doesn't see coming. And while he goes to Detroit, she drives 7 hours back to Newport Beach to pick up their winter clothes and then go back to Detroit. Like, stuff like that are the details that make those stories fun to tell.
Yeah, and, you know, because of the salary cap and because of the CBA, I mean, there are a lot of stories like that. It's a, you know, baseball doesn't have a salary cap, but it's the same thing with, you know, guys moving up and down, riding the shuttle. Generally, though, it's from one minor league team to another minor league team, or one minor league team to the parent club, back to the minor league team, up to the parent club. It's a lot different. Moving from organization to organization is a lot different because, I mean, that's just a huge change. In addition to city, in addition to team, you're talking a completely different organization, different set of rules, different set of people, different contact points for the player, for the agent, for the family. It is a remarkable story. And you're right. Sometimes we forget that, you know, it's not just the player doesn't pick up his bag and jump in a plane and away we go. There are other people involved in that whole process as well.
You know, I think also too, Jeff, I was curious to see about, like, what it did for his confidence. And I like the way he talked about it, in the sense that, you know, I taught myself to believe that teams wanted me. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets taken off waivers from Winnipeg to Arizona. He gets traded from Arizona to Detroit. And he says, well, that's good because Arizona wants me. Detroit wants me. And he said that the only time his confidence really wavered was when Detroit waived him, because it was the first time it happened because somebody didn't want him. Mm. And he said that was a bit of a struggle for him. But, you know, he gets out of it and he realizes the power of that. You're still a pro athlete and you're still at this point. And, you know, getting claimed in Winnipeg was great for him because I think all things considered, that's where he wanted to be.
Elliot, are we, as we turn the calendar to 2020, are we any closer to having a Canadian Stanley Cup champion?
Oh, boy, I sure hope so. You know,
it's three decades now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, and I say this, like, Jeff, you know, by the time this business chews me up and spits me out, which now is closer to the end than it is to the beginning for me, I hope I get to cover one. You know, 93 was my last year of university, and I really got into the business that summer, and I've never covered a Canadian Stanley Cup champion. I mean, I don't care who it is. I just want to see one in my lifetime before I get blown out of this business. And
come on, you don't want to see Vancouver, Elliot. You know that.
You know, I honestly now, I'm honestly at the point, Jeff, just give me one. I don't care. I don't care who it is. You know, the thing that I think, I honestly believe, is that the challenge in Canada is to have the staying power. Right. Can you handle the passion of these markets? And I'm not ripping the passion. Like, we don't have jobs if it isn't for the passion mm-hmm. of these people. But they do force, especially now with the social media world, they can force you off track if you're not committed and you don't have a thick skin. I think the most interesting thing about the guy here in Toronto, Kyle Dubas, is that he wants to win a certain way, and he's determined to prove it.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if it's going to work. There's times I have my doubts too, but I admire the fact that he has a plan, and come hell or high water, he's going after that plan. Whether it works or doesn't, I think that's the way you have to be in this country, because I think we've seen a lot of teams get sidetracked because you can't handle the heat. And I think that's the most important thing.
Elliot, who are some of the early names we should be thinking about when it comes to moving teams?
Like in terms of, are you talking about like the actual organizations moving or just people?
People, yeah.
No, we're beyond organizations moving.
Although,
I think.
If you got some news on organizations, feel free to break
the
show.
I don't have anything like that. You just threw me for a loop there for a second, Richard.
Don't you miss those days when we used to talk about the Coyotes moving and don't you miss those days?
PJ Stock, every week when we worked on Hockey Night and I was doing headlines or back then, whatever we called the hot stove with him, he'd walk in and goes, "Hey, what do you got in the Coyotes this week? I'm really looking forward to it." Oh, my God. We'd always laugh our heads off. I don't miss those days. I think it's starting to happen a bit, starting a lot more talking, I think, going on. Like, you know, we've had, you know, I think everybody's waiting to see what the Rangers are going to do with Kreider. Do they keep him or do they trade him? I think he's very high on a lot of lists. I think that some of the interest is in Calgary now. They've got some extra forwards and some guys who are centers who are young and talented, even though they've been struggling. Jankowski, Bennett. Bennett in particular, I think, is a guy teams would love to get their hands on, but they're going to be very careful that they don't just give him away. I mean, the interesting thing to me this year is that we've got three young players, all of whom were first rounders in the last few years, Richard, who aren't playing and their teams are holding on to them. Honka from Dallas and Puljujärvi from Edmonton and now Anderson from the Rangers. And they're saying, you know, we don't care if the path hasn't gone the way that we hope. Those guys are still former first round picks and some of them pretty recent, and we're going to treat them as such. So I think trading now, Richard, is, I think teams are more careful than ever. I think they really are. I think there's a lot of names that get thrown around, but I think guys are very, very careful.
Elliot, I, like many people, obviously, in this market, I love what I saw from Mikheyev over his first, you know, I mean, he was a revelation. It's actually kind of fascinating how many people, I think, missed the guy, given that the Leafs were able to get him. But in following up on what you just said, do you think the Leafs organization, in terms of thinking about additions, how do they calculate a guy like that coming back at the end of the year, or Johnsson coming back from injury? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there could be a belief that, like, you know, we are going to get some impact players in a couple of months, and maybe we sort of just ride what we have now, and we're getting these additions. It's just the additions are going to come like in March, April, as opposed to January.
I think that weighs into it. The one thing about Mikheyev is I'm always leery, Richard, when someone says or a team says, we'll reevaluate him in 3 months as opposed to his timeline.
Right, right. Good point.
That says to me that they think it could be a lot longer, potentially season ending, but they're just not sure and they're going to see how it goes. So I think while they're expecting Johnsson back, I think that Mikheyev at this point in time is probably more of a bonus than something you're really counting on. So that's the way I would look at it. I think the thing that's really interesting right now is I had a chance to chat the other day with the GM for Tampa Bay, Julien Brisebois, and he said that he has gone through the last 10 trade deadlines to see who kind of what teams did and did that really matter. And, you know, he just says that there's a lot of teams that traded first-round picks that don't win. Mm-hmm. I mean, now only one team can win a year, but he said the percentage is very low. And if that's the way he's thinking, then I guarantee you that there's a lot of other guys kind of thinking like that. I think Toronto, like, the one thing I think about the Leafs is this whole thing last week where they made guys like Jeremy Bracco available, that says to me that they've got some ideas to tinker.
Right.
And they've got some thoughts about what they might want to do. At this point in time, I don't really have my finger on them. But, you know, I think the Muzzin thing could be a factor in all this, too. That's a big one when he comes back. But I do think that they're considering tinkering. I just haven't been able to put my finger on what it is they're up to yet.
Elliot, I'm going to be a little selfish here and ask you about my Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, they're not going to have Brent Seabrook, obviously. Brandon Saad's a name. We've seen him connected. They've also got a decision, I suppose, with Robin Leonard. What do you see the Blackhawks doing? And Where are they sort of in that, you know, sort of finding their way out of that post Stanley Cup wilderness that they've, that they're in? Are they moving in the right direction?
I think that, you know, I know DeBrincat's really struggled this year, but I really like him. I think he's a talented young guy. I think Doc is a really talented young guy. Leonard looks like he's going to be a fit for them, and then I assume they'll try to get him signed long term. What I do think, though, is the last couple of years it's been kind of treading water. It's we're in it, we're not going to rebuild. There are some signs, Jeff, that that might change, that they might recognize that it's time to rebuild a bit more. Now, I think they'll wait until they're out. They're kind of on the periphery right now. I'm not convinced they're good enough, but they're in the race. And I think maybe they wait until they're out of the race. But I think the fact that they've shut down Seabrook, I'd heard rumors that they were interested in Bogosian, but, you know, a couple of guys shot that down for me that they're not interested in that. It says to me that they are at least considering the possibility that they've got to retool a bit more. And I think we'll get our answer closer to the deadline, but that's the sense I'm getting, that they're at least thinking about it.
All right, Ellie, one more for me for you to think about. I feel like Dave and Amber here, like we're on hockey night.
Okay.
As you head into this decade.
None of David Amber's questions make me think, just so you know, okay?
That's awful.
Well, I wish we could switch that. I mean, nobody's in better shape at this company than David Amber. The guy's like a marble statue.
Oh, my God. He is jacked.
Yeah. He's a great and a super nice guy.
Great guy.
So if you had to guess, Jeff and I were talking about this earlier, if you had to guess in this decade upcoming in the 2020s, do you think Alex Ovechkin passes Wayne Gretzky or falls short, and why?
Well, every time he scores, Dave does like a happy dance. Like, it's pretty funny, actually. And I give Dave credit. He's the first guy who really pushed this. And I remember I asked Ovechkin about it at the 2016 World Cup. I think it was one of the first times he's ever asked about it. And he looked at me like I was a complete moron. Now, I do think he started to think about it even more. He's got to score, what, like 40 for five more years or 50 for four more years?
200. We looked at state, like 213 or so behind, something like
that. That's a big ask. You know, he says himself, as long as he's healthy. He's also said something. He's going to give it a shot. He's also said something else I really respect. Like, he's not going to hang on just to do it.
Right.
I really like that. I'm a big believer in that. And so my guess is that he won't be able to keep up that pace simply because the odds are against it. But I've learned not to doubt that guy.
Mr. Friedman.
But I'm going to say no, because you asked me to make a prediction, so I'll say no.
Okay, thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. Yeah, I just it was interesting because when we had this discussion earlier, I said, like, I don't know Ovi, but I didn't know whether or not he was the type of guy who would hang on and try to and try to milk it. I don't know him well enough, but it seems as if you're saying that's, you know, he would be pretty realistic.
He has said no.
Yeah.
He has said no.
Elliot, good stuff as always, man. Have a great new year.
Happy New Year, guys. Have a great night.